chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading verse 1 of that chapter and read through verse 11. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God states, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, again, as we come before your throne of grace today, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've given us this past week, and Lord, the blessings that are in store for us this coming week. And Father, we don't know what they'll be, but Lord, as we trust in you, we know that there will be things as we honor you. We pray, Father, that you might take charge today. Lord, speak to each and every heart that is here, the young, the old, the middle-aged, Father. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak in and through each and every one of us too. And then, Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, this pulpit. Father, bless this pastor. Father, help me as I stand here and Lord, try to teach your word. And we pray, Father, that you'll give me strength and utterance, Lord, the undergirding that I need, Lord, to stand and preach your gospel. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll allow each and every one of us to hear the message today, that we might draw it to our hearts, Lord, that we might hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And then, Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you again for things that you do, things that you've done, and things that you will do. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen. All right, you may be seated today. If my voice gets a little hoarse today, I apologize. I have been preaching most of the week, so we're glad to be here in the house of God, though. And I want to speak to you today on the subject of fishers of men, fishers of men. Jesus, as he was calling out his disciples, he said to make them fishers of men. He told Peter here that he was going to make him and all those around him fishers of men. And he then set out to train and teach those men how to become fishers of men. He taught them and trained them the Word of God and tried to help them in the calling that he had placed on their lives. And today, you and I, we've all been called to be fishers of men. We've all been called to reach out into this world and to seek the lost people that are there and to help them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I trust today that as we go through this lesson, that it will give you some food for thought today, some food for thought that of how important it is for you to be a fisher of men too. He did not just call preachers and missionaries and evangelists and so forth to lead people to the Lord. He called all of us to be workers for the kingdom of Christ. And we all are supposed to be going out and bringing folks in to the house of God. So there's a few things here that I want to point out to you about these men and about the things that they were doing here. First of all, I want you to notice there in chapter 5 and verse 2, notice it says there that they were preparing the nets. I believe any time that we go out to lead anyone to the Lord, there must be some preparation. Amen. Verse 2 says, "And I saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Notice it says they were washing their nets. Our lives must be clean. If we're ever going to lead anyone to the Lord, we must have clean lives. We must have pure lives. We cannot ourselves lead someone to the Lord if we ourselves are not saved and our lives are not filled with the power of God and the glory of God. And when you go out soul winning, if you yourself are not right with God, it's going to be kind of hard for you to lead someone else to be right with God when you yourself are not. It's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black. Y'all heard that story before, hadn't you? And so notice here, though, that they were washing their nets. That washing means it's a process that they did every single day. Every single day of our lives, we need to be washing our lives. And our lives get washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and through His love and His atonement unto each and every one of us. And so they were washing their nets. You say, "Preacher, how do we wash our lives then?" Well, we do it through our prayers. We do it through that confession of our sins that we bring unto God. We should be in a prayer attitude every single day, asking God to forgive us of our sins, and not just in a broad sense, but going to God and saying, "God, forgive me of this sin," and explain what sin you're talking about to Him, and then the next one, and the next one. And honestly, folks, if we would learn to do that, we would find ourselves in prayer a whole lot more time than we do. Instead of just going to God and speaking for 2 or 3 minutes in prayer, you would find yourself in prayer for 15 to 20 minutes. And remember that this is to get your life clean and to get your life whole, that you might be able to do exactly what God has already called you to do to begin with. So our lives must be clean. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord." If we are going to bear the Word of God to people, we must be clean. Now, notice also, we cannot be effective soul winner with an unclean net. So if our life is dirty, we cannot be effective when we go out there. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh." Sometimes we have sins in our own lives and the sins of the flesh that are there, and it brings filthiness to us. And then we go out and we try to lead someone to the Lord, and it's just like Brother Woody was speaking about in Sunday school this morning. As the Pharisees were talking about, they were grumbling about a speck that was in someone else's eye, but then there they had a mote or a beam in their own eye. And so we're trying to lead someone to the Lord and help them to be forgiven of their sin, and we still have sin in our own lives. You see, my friends, we've got to get things right. And I think what's happened in our world today is we've kind of got things backwards. We try to help people to be saved, and we ourselves are not completely straight with God. We're not completely right with God. And so, of course, then our ability, our work then is stopped. And nobody gets saved. No discipleship then. The church doesn't grow. And sometimes the churches die. How many churches have you seen sitting by the roadside that are dead churches today? Not dead because that there's grass grown up around them, but dead because nobody goes to them anymore. Dead because the power of God is not there anymore. And it happens when we ourselves do not make sure that our lives are clean and our spiritual nets are clean as well. And then notice something else that they did as well. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 19, let's turn over there and look very quickly. Mark chapter 1. And over it, look down at verse 19. It says, "And when they had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets." Not only are our nets dirty sometimes, but our nets need mending as well. They get tears in them. And they get holes and rips. And these tears and holes, they represent a spirit of division. And sometimes we, in our spiritual life, we have division in our spiritual life. A division sometimes with someone in our church. Maybe it's division with your family members. The division that is there. And how can you lead someone to the Lord? How can you be an effective Christian if there's division in your own life? You see, we must make sure that we're right with God. And no wonder sometimes our churches are not being filled up. Because if we have people in our churches that are trying to lead people to the Lord or not leading them to the Lord at all, it's because that their nets need mending and their nets need cleaning, my friends. And that causes division. And division basically is carnality. It's things that come from the flesh. People are turning their back on Christ because of divisions among God's people. And we must mend our nets. Sometimes visitors come into our churches and they see our churches divided, sometimes down the middle. Sometimes it's three or four different ways that a church is divided. And then they see that, they feel that, they feel the oppression in the church, they feel the animosity in the church, and they don't want to come back to a church like that, whether they're lost or whether they're saved. And so no wonder, my friends, people will not go to church sometimes today. We hear of people today that say, well, I used to go to church. I used to be a member down there, but I won't set my foot through that door at all anymore. How sad that is, friends. And it's that way because of church people, because of the attitudes and the things that we have. And it should never be that way. We should always be loving. We should always be caring. And we should always make sure that our outside and our inside is as clean as it is, as clean as it can be, my friends. So division is not something that we need to have in our churches. In fact, we know that division is something that the flesh is in and a part of, and that means it's a part of what Satan is bringing into our churches. So we also find that they cast their nets also. In verse 16 of Mark, let's look back over there again. There he says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. You see, we got to make sure we cast it. If we get clean and we mend our nets, and that's something that must be done every single day, every single time you go fishing, you need to make sure that it's clean and mended like it's supposed to be. But then how are you going to catch any fish if you just take it and hang it up on the wall? If you take your net and hang it up on the wall, it never gets any fish in it, does it? The only thing it gets in is more dust and dirt and tears get in it because the strands of the cloth and the strands of the thread, it falls apart. So we got to cast our nets, don't we? And that's what churches are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking that thing and pulling that thing up like this and casting that thing out and letting it open up wide and gather as many people in as we can. Excuse me. And the only way we can do that is to use our nets. What about you? Have you been using your net this week? Have you been using your net to bring someone to the house of God? Have you been using your net to bring someone into the family of God? You see, God tells us that we're to be fishers of men. Now, I know the way that most of us fish around here is we take a rod and a reel, and we cast that bait out there in the water. And we try to tantalize that fish, and, you know, whatever we have to do to get that fish on that hook, you know, we're looking at it. We're jerking the bait a little bit like this. Sometimes we let it lay there, and that fish will come up and look at it sometimes and turn away and go the other way. Brother Woody, how many times have you been fishing, threw your bait out there, and the fish turned around and went the other way? A few times. And Woody's a good fisherman. I mean, when I first came here, I called him the fish whisperer, you know, because it seemed like every time he went fishing, there was fish in his bucket, you know. Well, sometimes we do that, and then sometimes we don't. And so we've got to cast our nets, though. You see, this fishing is a little bit different than taking a rod and reel and going out there and throwing it in. You're just trying to catch one fish at a time there. But we're trying to catch as many fish as we can. And that's what Jesus was telling his disciples here. The disciples had gone out. They had been out that night before, and they had been fishing. They had not caught a thing. They'd been outside all night long. And you got to understand something here. These were professional fishermen. These were not fishermen that, like myself, that might go out there and fish every once in a while. But these were professional men. That was their business. That was their job. In fact, we even see here where they went into business with the sons of Zebedee. They were in business with these men as well, with Peter. Peter and Andrew, Peter's brother, they were in business with each other. And so here we have the problem that sometimes we see in our churches and in our lives that we're not casting our nets out wide enough and we're not partnering with people to go out and even to try to bring some people into the house of God. What am I talking about? I'm talking about soul winning. I'm talking about visitation. Going out and knocking on doors and trying to bring people into the house of God. Passing out gospel tracts and sharing the blessed gospel with people there on the doorstep or sometimes when they invite you into their house and you sit down on the couch and you share the beautiful word of Christ with them. There's not a lot of that going on anymore. Not in a lot of our churches tonight. But when you do, my friends, there is a blessing that comes. Casting their nets. Casting represents soul winning. We find that James, he tells us about soul winning. He was a fisherman. He applied their trade that they had. He learned that and he did it on a daily basis. And it was their living that they gathered together here and gathered these fish. And again, I'm asking you this question. Are you a fisher of men today? We are supposed to be fishers of men. And we're to do that on a daily basis. So we cast our nets. Well, what about when you cast your net and you cast it on the wrong side? And sometimes we do that too, do we not? Y'all come on in. Praise the Lord. Give them just a moment to get seated here. Notice what Jesus tells them here in this scripture. He tells them to cast their nets, but Peter comes back and he said, we fished all night long and we hadn't caught a single thing. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. Just cast your net on the other side. Peter gives opposition, but Jesus says, go ahead and cast it on the other side. And as soon as they cast it on the other side, the net got so heavy with fish that came in it that they could not pull all the fish up. The Bible said that the net began to break and Peter began to call over to the other ship. Hey guys, I need y'all to come over and help get these fish up in the ship. And they got so many fish in the net that it filled their ship up and it filled James and John, the sons of Zebedee, it filled their ship up as well. Can you imagine today? You say, well, preacher, I've been out doing this before. I've passed out gospel tracts. I've been soul winning. I've done all these things before and none of it worked. Listen, my friend, don't stop. Cast your net on the other side. And if you cast your net on the other side, maybe there'll be a great drought that comes in, just like it was here that day. I think sometimes we get so tired of doing things the same way that we forget that God says sometimes we just need to do it a different way. There's a new piece of water out there. And I know there's some fishes out there that want to come in and jump in your net. Praise God. Amen. And when we do that, God blesses us and encourages us and strengthens us. So we see here preparing the nets. But I also want you to notice having the master on board. You see, we can go out there and we can cast our nets. We can go out there and we can fix our nets. We can go out there and we can prepare the nets by washing them and getting everything ready with the nets. But if the master is not on board, my friend, we still will not catch any fish. And notice when the master got on board, that's when they began to catch fish. That's when they began to get something done. And you and I tonight, we must have the master on board. If the master is not on board of our church, then my friend, our church will shrivel up and die. The master must be here. And the master is not me. I'm just the under shepherd here. But Jesus is the great shepherd. And if we do not let him lead us and guide us and obey him and do what he has called us to do, my friend, it is worthless anything that we attempt to do here. We must have the master on board. And I'm afraid tonight that Christ is not in control of a lot of churches. A lot of churches out there, men are in control of it, or a family in control of the church. And God never called a family to be in control of a church. He never called a deacon or a trustee to be in charge or in control of a church. He never called a pastor to be in control of the church. Jesus must be in control of the church, my friends. Jesus. He's the captain. He's the captain of our ship. If the captain of our ship is in control, then the vessel should ride very safely. Oh, what sweet peace it is when we know that Jesus is on board with us. And we can do anything if Jesus is on board with us. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all those things because Jesus is on board. But if he's not on board, my friends, look out. So let me ask you this. Is Jesus here? Is the Master here? We must keep him here, amen? We must make sure that he stays here. The captain of our ship. And then we must make sure that he is the one leading the ship, amen? That he's the one telling us where to cast our nets at. That he's the one helping us to get the right direction in our lives. And if we let Christ lead us, he knows the way. He knows how to fish. He is the greatest fisherman of all. In fact, look around you today. Look at all the fish he gathered into the church today. Amen? Jesus knows how to fish. But you and I, maybe we need a little bit more teaching. And so we learn a little bit more from him. But how do we do that? We listen. Now, I do know something about fishing. A little bit about fishing. Fish bite when they're hungry. Amen? And I like to go fishing when they're really hungry. I remember going fishing one time. I found an old stream, and the stream led to a little bitty small pond-like, and it was just on the side of the road. My fishing rod and reel was in the truck. I got parked on the side of the road. Hadn't even planned on going fishing that day. And I went out there, got my bait and everything, and walked through the woods and came to a part. And there, laying in that little pool of water, it looked like it was about a 10-pound largemouth bass. And I thought, man, I'm so excited now. I'm going to catch this bass. Nobody's around here fishing. I'm going to catch this big old boy, you know. I sat there or stood there and fished for probably 2 hours. I laid the bait right in front of that fish, and you know what? That fish just laid there and rolled his eyes around and looked at me. I honestly think he was looking at me and laughing every once in a while because I saw bubbles coming up every once in a while. I think he was laughing at me. I take it, I even threw the bait, and I thought, well, if I can't catch him with him biting it, I'll try to let the hook catch him on the side. Guess what? I threw it out there and pulled it over on top of him. He just laid there and wiggled his bottom a little bit, you know. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder how many people have tried to catch that fish. No wonder he's so big. He knows all the tricks. He knows everything it is that fishermen try to do. But I'm going to tell you what, if Jesus had been there, Jesus could have caught that fish. He would have made sure he walked home with a 10-pound largemouth bass. Well, to say this, I never caught him. I walked away, and that fish was still there in the water. And I have to imagine he's probably still there today. Today he's probably 20 pounds. I don't know. Because all he was doing is just eating stuff there in that little bitty pool. Friends, Jesus knows where to go fishing at. And sometimes you go fishing, and the water is good. The fish, it looks like they're there, and yet you catch nothing. But sometimes you go to a place, and there's all them fish. My goodness, there's fish like crazy. And all of a sudden, I mean, you throw your hook in, and as soon as it hits the water, that big old bass grabs onto that bait, and you got a fight on, you know. And then you say, well, you get him in. Well, I got him, put him on the line, and put him back in the water and wait for him, you know. Get your bait back on there, cast back out again, and as soon as almost before it even hits the water, the bass jumps out of the water and grabs the hook and goes back into the water, and you got another fight on. Has it ever been that way with you? It's been that way with me a few times. But then there's been those times when I've been out there and hadn't caught a single thing. Same way it is with soul winning. You go out sometimes soul winning and you don't find no fish, no souls. And sometimes you go out there and you bring in a whole bunch of people. And praise the Lord for that. You see, it's the power of God. It's the power of God and what God does to each and every one of us when these things happen. And it's all in obeying the Master. Letting the Master tell us where to go fishing at. Now, look around us out here in our community. We have a great big old lake here, don't we? I mean, look at all the fish out here in this community. Driving through the back roads in the country and up and down and around curves this past week, I saw houses out there and all kinds of farms and places like that. I mean, houses hidden behind a tree. Even on my way back home one night, I was coming up through there. It looked like a big old bear run across the road and stood there beside a little thicket, and there was a bear, you know. I mean, just all kinds of people everywhere. You say, well, preacher, we don't have nobody we can go pass out tracts to. We've done it to everybody. Listen, my friend, you've not hit every house around here. There's all kinds of places we can pass tracts out and go soul winning to. It's all about deciding to do it and doing it. And then letting the Master lead us into the way. Well, that's not all that Jesus was showing them here that day. We also find that they were told to thrust out from the shore. You know, a lot of times we try to fish from the shore and we don't catch too many fish there because some of them big ones are there sitting out there in the middle, you know, and they're waiting on you. And you go out there and they thrust out a little while and there's that big draw of fish that came in. And then there's something else that I want to mention to you that Jesus showed them there as well. He showed them also that we need not to be discouraged when we do have failure. I mean, just because you didn't catch something the first time you went out there doesn't mean you stopped fishing. You know, the first time I ever went hunting, I didn't bring anything in. I come back home, my wife said, where's the meat? I said, it's still in the woods, you know. But I made sure the next time I went out there hunting, I brought the meat home. And ever since that time, I've tried to bring meat home every time I went out hunting. Every time I go fishing, I try to bring some meat home. But I'm not like the old fisherman that when he got home and he told this fish story, they said, yeah, he said, I got some great old biggins out there when his wife said, where's the meat at? Well, that poor old wife, she didn't know that man hadn't caught a single thing. He'd went by the fish market on the way home, bought some fish, put them in his bucket and brought them home, said, look, honey, here's my meat. I caught all these. You see, that you can't do that neither. You can't pull somebody else's in, you know. You got to make sure you get your own. And when you do, just don't get discouraged when you fail. We've all failed in things. We've all had failures in our life. And there's not one of us in this building today that is the perfect Christian. And if you think you're the perfect Christian right now, my friend, you better be the first one up here at the altar here in a few minutes. Because I can tell you now that every one of us in here have failed. We've all failed from the pulpit to the pews. We failed Jesus. We failed God. We failed the things that He's called us to do. We didn't want to fail. We didn't try to fail. But because we didn't have everything right, maybe our nets were dirty. Maybe we're still casting them on the same side. And we failed. Remember this, don't get discouraged. You see, Peter here got discouraged, and they quit fishing. That's why they came in. And Jesus got on the boat, and He told them to cast out just a little ways. And then He preached for a good while there. And then after He got through preaching, He told them, He said, now I want y'all to go on out in the water a little bit more and cast your net on the other side of the boat. And Peter argued with him, basically, and said, we fished all night long, didn't catch a thing. Go ahead and do it anyway, Jesus said. And all of a sudden, here comes all the fish. You see, friends, you may have gone out and done things year after year after year in our churches, and you've not caught anything. But I can tell you, friends, if you let Jesus help you with it, we can catch some fish. Amen. Y'all understand what I mean when I say catch some fish? I'm not talking about fish like the ones that swim in the water. I'm talking about men. That's why Jesus said to Peter, He said, you're no longer going to be a fisherman of fish. You're now going to be a fisherman of men. And you and I today, we should be fishermen of men today, and women, and boys and girls, bringing them into the house of God. Don't be discouraged. Don't get discouraged when you first time you go out, you don't bring nobody in. Don't be discouraged if you go out the second time, you don't bring nobody in. Because I can promise you, if you just keep doing it, God will bless you, and you'll be able to bring someone in. And then I want you to notice something else that Jesus was teaching them this day. He was teaching them to not only to let the Master lead them, but also to obey the Master. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter said, at thy word we will. At thy word. We must obey the Lord, and it's in His word. It's not when I tell you to do it. It's when God tells us to do it. And you may be standing in line at the Walmart today or sometime this week, and the Lord says, I want you to speak to that person behind you. And you turn around, you look at him, you say, well, I don't want to talk to that person. But the Lord says, I want you to speak to that person behind you. And by the way, we can't pick and choose who we talk to. We can't pick and choose who we share the gospel with. And so the guy turns around and finally starts talking to somebody, and they obey the master, and my goodness, all of a sudden the person gets saved. And wouldn't that be a blessing? And every one of us go shopping, don't we? I know some of us like it and some of us don't like it. But we all have to go at some time to go shopping. And there's all kinds of people in there to talk to. You might just try it sometime this week. Just go to the store and say, hey. And by the way, carry a few gospel tracts in your pocket too, you know. Take them with you and pass them out. Well, I tell you, I used to love what Pastor Hodd said not too many months before he passed away. He told me, he said, preacher, he said, I've got excited. He said, I've got re-energized. And he said, you know, he said, every time I go to the doctor's office, and he was in the doctor's office a lot, every time he went to the doctor's office, he was taking gospel tracts, and he would talk to everybody sitting in there. And he would turn to him and he'd say, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? You see, he was trying to be a fisher of men. And that's what we all are supposed to be doing. We're trying to be fishers of men today, wherever we go. Obey the Master and let the Master tell us what to do. And then when he tells us what to do, let us obey him and do that. And then sometimes we just need to launch out into the deep. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about this. Sometimes you get a little anxious, you know. And you say, well, I can't do that. I don't know enough Bible scripture. I haven't memorized enough scripture. And so you say, well, I can't do that. Well, you can. Just go ahead and launch out into the deep, you know. You know, Peter, when all the fishermen, they were there in the boat, all the disciples, and Jesus came walking to them on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and got to Jesus, and then he began to sink because he lost faith and lost sight of Jesus. You see, friends, sometimes we just need to be like Peter and we need to get out of the boat and go forward. Not because we think we know everything about God and we think we know all the scriptures that we need to know, but sometimes, my friends, it's just going to that person and talking to that person and saying to that person, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven, and I'd like you to be able to go with me. And I would like to tell you my story. Can I tell you my story today? And sometimes, my friends, it's not about knowing and having every scripture memorized. It's just about sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ with someone and helping them learn about Jesus. And then if they do get saved, and whether they do or not, invite them to the house of God and ask God to help them. And God will bless them. It really is that easy, my friends. I was talking to one of the men at the revival this week, and he was telling me a story about when he went out soul winning. And there was a Muslim lady that he was talking to. And he talked and he talked and he talked to that Muslim lady. And that Muslim lady, she just kept going back in her faith and going back into what she believed. And she would not accept anything that this man had to say. And so finally he said, you believe that God is in your book, don't you? And she said, yes. And she said, well, if you believe that God is in your book, God is in my book too. And he said, you must accept this God. Because your God and my God really basically are the same God. You just have a different twist on it. You have a different thought about it. And he walked away. Didn't know if the woman got saved or not. And then I think about Johnny Sasser. I think of what he was telling us when he was here the last time, and how that they had witnessed, and he had gone up there to those soldiers, and this girl he had witnessed to as he gave this gospel tract to and shared the blessed gospel of Jesus, and she accepted Christ, and then she writes in a letter back to him or an email and writes back to him and says, you know that paper that you gave me, that can you bring some more of that when you come next time? Because I've been sharing this with one of my friends, and I want my friend to have what I have too. Can you please bring that? You see, that's what it takes, my friends. It takes us obeying the Master and going out there and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we'll share the gospel of Jesus Christ and become fishers of men, God will point us where to go. And He will let our nets be full, my friends. We won't have to worry about it. We won't have to worry about the incapacities that we think we have. We won't have to worry about the things that we think we do not know and the understanding that we do not have. All we'll have to do is just trust Jesus. And if we trust Jesus, God will lead us to the right place. And then can you imagine how our churches can grow? There are so many opportunities. And so, I want to share this with you also. Do you know that something that is broken, it's not going to fix itself? You know, they say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right, or the oil. Well, if you don't fix it, it's eventually going to start squeaking again, right? It'll just keep on going and going, and then all of a sudden it'll squeak, and eventually it'll stop. We in our churches today, we must make sure that the way that we've been doing it, the way that we do it, it must be Lord's way, because if our way is not working, it's broke. And we, my friends, can't fix it unless Jesus fixes it for us. So here's the conclusion of the message today. You and I today, the result of this is that God's way is the way of success. Not our way. Not man's way. But God's way. And God's way is very simple. God's way is very simple. It's very explicit in His Word. He tells us exactly what to do. You cast your net on this side, you don't catch no fish. Cast it on the other side and catch a big amount of fish. The purpose for this is the miracle that Jesus has performed here. It gives us purpose in life. It gives us purpose to do the will of God. And today you and I should have purpose when we leave this building. Our purpose is not just to go back out there into our lives and to do the same things that we've been doing. Our purpose on this life, in this world, is to serve the Lord and to bring other people into the family of God. Wouldn't you like to have more brothers and sisters in Christ? Wouldn't you? I sure would. I love being around my brothers and sisters in Christ. And wouldn't it be great if you could have a whole bunch more brothers and sisters in Christ in the house of God? And that's all it takes, is just being open and honest with God and doing what God says. Let's all be fishers of men. Amen. Let's all reach out there and bring people into the house of God. With everyone standing and eyes closed and heads bowed. I wonder how many people today would say, "Preacher, what you said is spoken to my heart today." Now, I've not been faithful. I've not been casting the net. Maybe some of you might say, "Well, my net's dirty." Some of you might know that your net is broken. You've not been mending it. You've not been washing it. And maybe you've not even been casting it. I'm asking you today to change that. And God is asking you today to change that. Let's be soul winners. Let's let everybody in this community know that this church is a soul-winning church. And we're not here to necessarily tickle the ears of people. We're not here to tell funny stories and anecdotes. We're here to lead people to Jesus Christ, because this is the work of the church. And friends, we must be about the Father's business. Can you help me do that? Can you help Jesus do that? If so, I'm going to ask you today to respond. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer, and if God's spoken to your heart today, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. You meet me up here, and we're going to be fishers of men. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I want to say thank you for your goodness and your blessings. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us a task. Father, how sad it is in our world today when people, it seems like they have nothing to do. But Father, as a child of God, we always have something to do. We can always take your gospel and share it with someone. And Father, there are so many people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, no matter what type of job we have, what type of school we go to. Lord, we meet people and we see people. And sometimes people will be mean and they'll tell us to go away. But Father, sometimes people will listen. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would help us to do this. Just as the pastor said last night, Lord, we know that when we go fishing, those fish are not just going to jump out and get in our buckets. Father, we got to work at it. And so, Father, I'm asking you tonight and today, Lord, and the rest of this week and the weeks to come, Lord, to help us to be fishers of men, to help us here to be a soul-winning station, a lighthouse to this community. And, Father, these in our congregation, Lord, maybe that you've spoken to their hearts, I ask you, God, that you would help them yield to you, listen to you, Father, and obey you. And I ask these things now in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone. Amen. Sister Heather, if you would come. We'll sing a number of invitation today. As God's spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar today. Maybe to dedicate your life to soul winning. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I have no problem with that. But you need to be at the altar because you need to be a soul winner, my friends. How many people have you led to the Lord? Stop and think about that. Let's see.
548.
Aren't you glad today that we serve a wonderful, great God? A God that does give us the opportunity to partner with Him. Doing these things that God has told us in His Word and we've preached about this morning, you're partnering with the Lord and being a part of what He's doing. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've never led anyone to the Lord, it is one of the most exhilarating experiences that you could ever imagine. First time I ever led anyone to the Lord, I was so excited. I could not believe that the person accepted Christ. I could not believe that God used me to tell that little boy that he needed Jesus. And that little boy listened and he heard. Not with his head, but with his heart. And he wanted to go to heaven. 10-year-old little boy. Praise God. And God's been blessed in that way ever since, my friends. And all you have to do is put yourself out there and do what God's called you to do. And God's called every one of us to do that. Share the gospel and help people to come to know Jesus. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, God in heaven, you're mighty and great and pure and true. We praise you today, Father, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and you care for us. We thank you, Father, that you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And Jesus, we thank you for willingly giving your life over. And Father, today we ask now that you would help us as a church, Lord, that we would be obedient, Lord, that we would stand with you, and Father, that we would seek the lost that are in this world. Father, help us to do that tonight. Help us to do it each and every day. And Father, forgive us when we do not. Lord, help us to find someone this week, Lord, to share the gospel with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.